What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Minority populations are subject to particular educational, political, social, and health concerns by virtue of the conditions associated with the individual and collective group membership. 411 Teen will be examining minority populations, Hispanic, Asian, African American. This edition of 411 Teen looks at issues in the Black American community. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Andrew Mitchell, hails from Jacksonville, Florida. He's a second-year student in broadcast journalism at FAMU. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Glad to have you.
Glad to be here.
Amber Wormsley, it's so nice to have her do it twice. She was here before, and I'm always glad to have her come back. She is really the initiator of this topic today, and I want to say a special thank you to bringing this topic up. She hails from Fort Lauderdale. She's a junior in accounting.
Glad to be back again.
Joshua Johnson from Milton, Florida, junior mechanical engineer.
Hey, how you doing?
Kalina Knox, Lithonia, Georgia. It's so nice to have her. She's been here again. She's in molecular cellular biology. Okay. Fifth year.
Hi, everyone.
Fantasia Jackson, Lexington, Kentucky. She's a freshman in business administration.
Hello, everyone.
What we want to do is look at the issues in the Black community, African-American issues. I'd like to hear from you. What would be the issues that you would identify as concerns that exist in the Black community? Whomever.
I'll go ahead and jump
okay,
in.
Yeah.
Some of the issues that I'm particularly familiar with, colorism, sexism, how were we talking about homophobia before? I'm going to use this term very lightly, but I think opportunities, not as far as getting jobs, but just as far as resources, a lot of times I think that may be that's an issue. I think there's identity issues, and I also think there's issues with I feel like a lot of Black people would prefer to appear to be cool, and I'm going to use that term lightly too, rather than
intellectual.
Thank you. I didn't want to offend anyone and be like, oh, some people rather be cool than be smart. So, yeah. But yeah, I think that's okay. Those are some of the issues.
You raised some good ones. And I know we never have enough time to address all of them, but we will try to address some of them.
And then they struggle with money.
Okay.
Finances.
So economics.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything else you all would like to add?
Black on black crime.
Oh, I got an article for you for that.
Okay. What about you?
The destruction of the Black family.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Mm. We'll have to do several programs.
I guess Black marriage then, maybe. Like sort of like when would be the right time to get married and when not to, however you want to see it.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got plenty of them. I've got a couple of them that I want to add. And what I think I'd like to start with are health issues. Okay? Yes.
I have some more.
Sure.
The stereotype of the black man and the stereotype of the black woman.
Okay, stereotype. In fact, that is a whole program by itself. Okay. Alone. I mean, you know, just stereotypes.
Same here.
You know,
I would say it's a whole, like, social problems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, you know, that's sort of categorizing. I mean, not categorizing, but putting all of us, like, in one category.
Yeah, exactly. And what I also did, I looked at, you know, I looked at education, and we talked about graduation rates, and I looked at health as far as diet and diabetes and prostate cancer and HIV. So there we can go on and on and on, and I'd like to get to some of these and some of these, so let's go for it. I'd like to start, though, with health issues, because I think, you know, health is a real basic. And when I say health issues, I'm talking about diet and diabetes, and we can go on, cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer. You know, there are a number of health concerns that exist in the African-American community. And as I throw those out there, let me ask you, you know, I know each one has its own specific set of characteristics, but if we just look at some of the health concerns, you know, obesity is an ongoing, and our diets, all that. How do you think, how can we address some of these issues effectively, okay? What can we do, in your opinion, as young folks, effectively? How can we effectively address what people are eating? How can we effectively address and convey to folks that exercise is important and what we eat is important? Joshua, let's go for it.
All right. I would say pretty much just knowledge of it, you know, what's going on. I know nowadays, you know, whenever you go up into a fast food restaurant, for example, McDonald's, you know, they got the calories on the side. You know, it's going to take more than just calories, you know, to actually, like, live healthy and whatever kind of aspect, you know. Walking, running, whatever it is, going to your mailbox, to your car down the road, to the gas station, however far you live from it, you know, all of that stuff is healthy for you. But, you know, you just need to know the extra mile that you need to go in order to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
But I also think it's about, like, your parents instilling it into you that you need to be healthy. Because if you're never around, like, the atmosphere to be healthy, always running, always, you know, doing some kind of exercises, you're not going to be able, you're not going to be wanting to do that. And I think if you're around the atmosphere, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be fit.
But this might be a situation where parents may not be able to instill that, because some parents may not be as sophisticated. Because this is all on the forefront, you know, and so they might not be on top of it when it comes to our diet, having fried food every day, because that was a part of their culture.
Right.
And so sometimes I agree with you, you know, that if the parents set the environment, that's ideal. But sometimes, you know, we may be putting too much on parents this time, because their exposure and their experience and their environment, their milieu is different, and that was not an issue for them.
I completely agree with you. That okay. I was just like saying, you know, that, you know, having that in place, that's where that would happen. That's what is going to happen. But see, we're too much into, like, fried chicken and all that. We just too much into that. If we, you know, say, get the baked chicken, like, we at the calf, they want the fried chicken more than they want the baked chicken. I eat baked chicken. They always want the fried chicken.
And I'm one of those that I defer to you. You are right. But fried chicken tastes better.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And I know I can't, you know, I have to consciously be aware that, you know, this is not what we need. Okay, I know some of you had comments. So, feel free.
What?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think that it's a few different things. I think that one, it's a matter of looking healthy rather than being healthy. So people associate being smaller with being healthy. So when they don't see what a Big Mac or a Quarter Pounder or whatever can do to them instantly, they feel like, oh, well, if I just have one more, it's not going to be so bad. Mm-hmm. So I think that could be part of it. I think part of it is also instant gratification, because obviously if you take a bite of fried chicken compared to baked chicken, everybody's going to pick the fried chicken. Depending on who makes it, too.
Yeah, that is true.
And I also think this is an issue for everybody. I don't think, well, mainly for blacks, too. But I think now, because people need two incomes, people are working longer hours because, you know, of inflation and cost of everything is going up. But I think it's also that cost versus time factor, where, you know, food is costing more. People are making about the same as what they were however long ago. And you know, the time benefit. People have a lot more things to do. And sometimes grabbing a burger from McDonald's might be the quickest and easiest thing for you to do rather than go home at 8 o'clock at night and try to cook dinner.
Because some good food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other comments?
I definitely think the issue is a lot deeper. I think, especially being a petite black woman, I see it from the other end of the spectrum just because of being targeted as a kid. Black people see being skinny as unhealthy. Black people's mental state compared to other race as far as size is completely opposite of everything that you're taught in health. If you're a size 10, that's everything in the black community, but that's the average size of, you know, your average 35, 40-year-old American woman. Mm-hmm. So for a 15-year-old to carry that kind of weight on her, or I'm not sure what the conversion is for men, mm-hmm. but particularly for women, because, you know, that's not healthy. And we're being taught as young girls, oh, it's better to be thick. Yeah, it's better to be thick after you have.
And let me just interject here. That's a cultural component that you have to look at. It's not just black. You see it all in the Caribbean. You
know? They're black.
Yeah. Well, not all of them. Not all of them. We'll put it this way. But, you know, and my point, and they don't identify themselves.
They don't,
no,
but
I know what you're saying. But I'm trying to say that it is a cultural. There are cultures that expect their women to look a particular way. And it's not just black.
Every culture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every
white
culture.
Man, right. They everybody.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Blonde hair, right. Blue eyes, yeah. Frails, what I want to call it.
Pasty.
Fantasia, I haven't heard from you. Where do you stand on this?
I agree with him as far as the knowledge, but as far as learning it, with black people, I think that it needs to be interesting. Like, for them to want to know about it, they need to, like, you can't just put it on paper and put it in front of them. It has to be on a billboard, something big, that is going to draw their attention, because mm-hmm. if they see it, they're going to read it. You know, if it's like, you know, in a video or something like that, but when you just, you know, you put something on a piece of paper, they're going to look, and they're going to look right past it. But if it's interesting.
But we're dying. You know, we're dying all across the culture. Black folks have diabetes at rates that are astronomical.
And that's when they decide they're going to try to be healthy. Exactly. I feel like they have to put their hand on the hot stove and realize, like, oh, yeah. This is the effect of eating fried chicken.
So
every
how
day.
Do we change that?
I don't think it's going to change. I think it's just so embedded into the culture and mm-hmm. to the psyche of individuals. I can eat a salad at work. How many people eat a salad and have people crowd around you and talk to you about your salad because it's foreign to them? This is normal to me. The black people at my job don't understand eating right. They don't understand no mayonnaise. They don't understand baked. They don't. And
they put bacon on everything.
Yeah. And everything. And how many times have you been to a cafeteria in a black area and for breakfast every piece of meat was some type of pork? It's just it's something that's deep rooted into our psyches, where we're taught, even in a lot of African traditions and cultures, if you are frail, you are mm-hmm. poor. If you mm-hmm. have meat on you, you are rich. So mm-hmm. it's something that's been with us for thousands of years. It's not going anywhere. And what's a better example of death? How many people have, you know, where everyone here is somewhat of some type of African heritage, how many people have died in your family from strokes, heart attacks, mm-hmm. diabetes? That's the best example. I don't need a billboard. And if you don't see that and you don't respond to that, it's nothing that anyone can put on a commercial that will move you. I mean,
but
I just don't get
it. But if we go with you, Colleen, it's hopeless.
It is.
Well, yeah.
Exactly.
I used to, you, well.
If you look at it like that, then there is no hope for
right, that's what I'm saying.
The way that you're looking at it, there's no hope for anything. Basically, you're saying it's over. It's nothing.
There's nothing we can do.
It's hope. Everybody got to realize you don't have to necessarily go to the gym or get out and run
right
to exercise.
You can just
man.
Eat
just
right and that's gonna be one.
House and doing stuff is fine, mm-hmm. you know, but it's certain things that you do like clean. Don't mm-hmm. nobody know cleaning. You
I used to be
then dance, run out, do something.
I used to be very pessimistic, and I had I remember it was a while ago, we were talking about this whole gay marriage issue, and I was like, it's never going to happen. People are way too conservative, and of course, now it's starting to happen. So now, it took something like that for me to realize, like, okay, well, there's hope for some of everything. And I don't think that people can't change unless they want to. So therefore, there's always going to be that small population that doesn't want to change, or they might have to put their hot hand on the stove. Me personally, like, sometimes, not all the time, I might choose a piece of baked chicken over fried chicken. I eat fruit every day. I eat fiber. Like, I hardly ever eat any fried foods. I eat whole wheat bread. So it's not, and keep in mind, my parents are country. My mom is from Kentucky, so she can fry some chicken. Salad, what is that? I don't know. Drink soda, all that kind of stuff. I was actually the first person to start eating whole wheat bread. Like, I didn't even need anybody to die to do it.
Hold your thoughts. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I'm talking with students in my intro psychology class. And we are looking at issues that pertain particularly to the African-American community.
This segment, let's look at standard of beauty. What is the standard of beauty, and how do you all feel about it? I'll just throw it out there, and you can go for it.
Just the standard of beauty in the black community?
We're talking about the black community.
Well, it's two kind of standard of beauty, okay. If you look at it. I mean, are you talking about... I mean, we talk about a man, or we talk about a woman.
Just standard. I mean, just in general.
Necessarily, I mean, it has to be, you know, a certain kind of fitness to it. Even though we just talked about how the health, you know, they look at it as a fit, but you know, for women, you know, it has to be like a combination of thick, but still have a good waist, and you know, have to look good, and you know, have to have your hair. You know, right?
Do you need to have blonde hair and blue eyes?
No, the black community, they really don't look at, like, blonde hair and all
Well,
that.
You know, we see a lot of...
Well, it's not as much.
Well, hold on. Okay. My ex had some purple eye contact, so that's...
Oh, you talking about eyes?
Yeah.
I wasn't talking about that.
You talking about skin color, period. You know what I'm saying? That's different. Everybody got their own different likes and dislikes, you know?
We're just talking about standard of beauty, and I just want to hear from you all. Whatever. You know, when you talk about standard, you might look at hair, you might look at eyes, you might look at shape. You know, how do you define a standard of beauty? Amber.
I've noticed that as far as black women, typically the lighter you are, the prettier you are. You know, usually have more like European features, and then of course they want to throw on like a blonde lace front or whatever to give them the full effect. I don't really know. I don't understand it. And then as far as men, it's usually this very black, masculine, alpha male ego. Like it's, I almost feel like they're almost opposites in the black community. Like I guess maybe light skinned men had a phase. I don't really know. If they did, it's over. because now they, you know.
How is it over? I feel it's over. I mean, picking cotton no more. That's why.
It's never a phase. It's an individual.
Well, no, I'm just saying generally. I'm just saying generally. Like I feel like now more dark-skinned men are kind of taking over the spotlight, I guess you could say, whereas women, typically, if they're lighter, they're...
So you still see that with females?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, definitely. I don't know.
I personally don't.
Okay.
I think the way you, like, more, like, present yourself, and that go male and female, you know, whether you see it in, like, a business aspect.
Are you talking about as far as you or in general?
Maybe you gotta present yourself a certain way, just looking like how I do, you know. It is true.
We're saying in general. We're not.
Yeah, in general, she's right. But okay. You look at her, you know, the way you feel individually can be different. But she's right.
So that is still the trend.
People will tell me, like, they will come to me and say, you know, you're pretty to be
for dark skin.
I don't understand. Like, what do you mean?
And I'm too pretty to be a lesbian, just to throw it out there for everybody. Yeah, I've heard it.
I'm out of it. Okay.
I would definitely agree with what the ladies have said. The standard of beauty has not changed. I was just watching School Days about a month ago, and that movie was based in, I want to say, the early 80s. And I was watching a movie, and I was like, I'm her, and I was picking out my friends. It just mirrored what I experienced in college, so much so. The colorism, the length of your hair, all of that matters. And people say that it doesn't. Oh, black is beautiful. The blacker the berry, they're lying. Yeah. Because you are treated differently if your hair passes your bra. If you have bra length or better, if you're paper bag or better. You know, the phrase, the phrase, if you're black, get back. If you're brown, stick around. Right. If you're light, you're right. That hasn't gone anywhere. And it reflects on television. When you watch music videos, and the people that pick the women to be in these videos are just like you, just like I. They are black people. These women, you can't even tell that some of them are black. I mean, most of them aren't, because currently it's not seen as beautiful to be a regular black woman, a brown woman, a chocolate woman. That's not okay. And even when you look at, when you go to a beauty supply store and you look at things, the publications for the women that they have featured, I mean, Africa's Best. The woman on it is what we call in Georgia a red bone. How are you Africa's Best? And you're, you know, the same color as the other side of my hand. So it's just, it makes no sense. And that's something that's been going on for a long time. How many times have you listened to a rapper say something and he's like, I need a long hair, thick red bone? You can't have a caramel girl. You don't want a chocolate girl. And whenever there is a dark skinned girl in an industry, especially in television, she's the dark skinned girl. It's not three or four of them. Yeah, it's one.
That's it's very
one.
True.
There is one.
The token.
Gabrielle Union. And that's it.
If you ask,
starting to get surgeries, not for their noses and stuff.
Yeah, if you ask the guys, would y'all rather have a dark skin girl or a light skin girl?
Or you can ask. You can ask me too, and I'm gonna say y'all like a black.
I'm gonna tell you right now. Yeah. I like them crispy black. They can be light, bright. I don't care. As long in the end is what I see you as. Dark skin, light skin. I don't care. But how you present yourself to me as a person, how you act. That's what's attractive.
But
me,
now,
period.
Are you, Joshua? Are you the norm? I'm just trying to find out, because I don't know. I'm old school and I'm out of it. But you know, you have a very mature attitude.
I'm 25.
Okay,
that doesn't mean anything nowadays.
No, that doesn't. I'm just wondering. Do your friends feel that way? Are you representative?
Do they feel open to the women?
No. I mean, do they feel the same way? Or do they have standards?
I got a question. Are we talking about just, you know, talking to, or are we talking about really getting in a serious relationship with?
Period.
Because it's like, it depends.
Who are you attracted to?
It's just beauty.
I mean, it doesn't matter with me. I'm just saying, you know, but if you want to bring it to a serious relationship, some people, they just, you know, it just goes out the doors. Like, they'll mess with a white woman or something. But you know, they will not go to a relationship with them.
Well, we're just talking about beauty, though.
Standards of beauty in the black community.
It hasn't changed.
Okay.
Well, I think part of the reason for colorism, I think that someone has to do with stereotypes
and identity. Because who does the young black female or male emulate? Who are the role models for young black kids now? I'm asking
rappers.
You to tell me.
Well, I'm kind of on my own with this one, just because I don't feel like there's anybody that's famous that actually can, that I can identify with. I mean, the closest person I can probably identify with is Ellen, and she's white and she's rich.
But that's you. But I mean, overall, in the black community, you know, young brothers and young sisters, is there anybody, or am I just?
Martians.
I listen.
Martians. They imitate just like some strange people, alien people. Like, the main role models, they just acting after some folks. Like, if you want to actually look at role models, you may need to take it to somebody who's not rapping or something like that. Or if they are rapping, they rapping for a purpose, meaning they got more of a poetic type flow rather than, I'm finna get up and ball all out, you know what I'm saying, big money, sex, and, you know, different stuff. You know, those type of people.
More bragging, you know, telling about their life. And,
well, that's not really their life. Let's be realistic.
I said, not, you know, well, some of them is. But some of it's not. It depends on what, you know, how are you going up to, if you're really a cocaine dealer or not. But what I'm saying is, you know, I look up, like, you know, the J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar. To me, they're poor if you listen to their rhymes and all that.
Yeah, but if you listen to their mainstream, they're just like everybody else, too, though.
But, I mean, everybody, if you have to make some kind of money, you have to be mainstream.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot bring out anybody.
Well, yeah, I'm
that
not,
has not having like no mainstream. You cannot know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at money, of course. But if we're talking about role models, but if you really want to be a role model for somebody, your primary objective should not be money.
Because a real role model doesn't have to be a person that's big. A real role model is a person that you just see. It could be anybody.
But yeah, that's the problem.
But who is everybody following, though? They're following Lil Wayne and they're buying Truck Fit like there's no tomorrow.
You're totally right about that.
We're talking about role models, that's and everyone right. that has spoken are talking about musicians. Why aren't we saying, and it's not that your mindset is incorrect, because what y'all are saying as far as the role models are the musicians, but that's not who kids should be emulating. We should be.
That's all they see.
That's all they see. But we should be highlight. I mean, my mentor lives in Tallahassee, and she was on the Forbes 100 list. And I'm sure no one at this table knows who she is. That's a problem. She lives here, and she started her own business, and she's in the top 50 on the Forbes list. People should know who she is. That should be publicized. That should be a big deal. Women should be reaching out to her. Young men who are in science should be reaching out to her. But we say, she asked the question, who are the role models? And the first thing we start talking about is rappers. That's just crazy.
But what I'm saying is that's a
problem.
It is a problem.
No, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm saying it's a problem.
We know that. That's what we're talking about. She was just letting y'all know what it is. She said
everybody was talking about rappers. We was telling you that, you know. Yeah, that's the reality of it.
Like, I'm in tune with reality. What I'm saying is that's a problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem that everyone is looking to rappers instead of looking at just different people that they want to emulate as far as career-wise. Everyone doesn't want to be a rapper, but we're all following them as far as how we dress, how we speak, dialect, you know, and it's starting to become a problem.
Well, exactly. I think because, I mean, not to say that everybody's main objective is to be rich, but when you look on, you know, on a white side, a lot of the rich people are entrepreneurs or business owners or politicians. You look on the black side. Yeah. Everybody's either an athlete or a rapper. Mm-hmm. Like, so I feel like black people think that that's really their only way to stardom and their only way to become, I'm going to use this term loosely, successful. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you don't really, you know, not everybody's going to be Oprah Winfrey, and some people may feel like that's out of reach to have a net worth of like $9 billion and still be like in the top 50 of like the richest people, and you know, you have net worth of $9 billion. Some people may see that's unreachable, but you know, to have like maybe $1 million and to get a record deal, some people may feel like that's something that's more, you know, and especially with the rap music that's coming out now, I feel like we could just sit at a table, use the rest of this time and make a beat, and we could all get a deal.
Let's look at crime.
I'm ready. You brought it up, so I'm gonna let you go first.
Okay.
Crime and the community.
This subject is very touchy to me, just because I lost my brother last March. He was killed, and he was 16, and he was killed by two black guys. And you know, I just think it's terrible. Like, at this point in life, it's just like, you know, the reality is that we not going to stick together, but I wish that we could. You know, it's just like, why are we not a team at this point? Why are we, you know what I'm saying? Like, why aren't we trying to build the black community, not break us down? Like, I read this excerpt from the, the KKKs, and they was like, you know, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to the people. Thank you to the black community. Y'all tearing each other down. We don't have to do it. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, wow. Like, and it was true. Like, you know, it's true. If but you what look we, at
and
it.
Well, what I guess my question to you is young black folks, what do we do? I mean, okay, we've recognized that this is a problem, that crime in the black community is a problem. You all tell us, what should we do? How should we address this?
It's a deep one.
I'm going to, I just want to touch on a couple quick things real quick before okay. I get into this article that I told you I was going to have ready
okay.
for you.
We got a minute and a half before break.
Oh, okay. Real quick. Me and Josh, we were talking about dreads, standard of beauty, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell everybody right now why I cut my hair. Me and my best friend from back home, we started dreads together. If you want to call it black on black crime, he got killed. I cut my hair off because his mom had his haircut. That's why I cut my hair off. I actually had a purpose. So that's why I cut my hair. If you want to go back to slavery, all the other kind of stuff, everybody stripped of everything that they possibly had, and I feel like that's why people can't stick together now. We really don't even have an idea who we are, where we came from, anything like that. You want to call it African-American history, and they tell you about Martin Luther King. Not enough for me. Violence. I actually read this article, White on White Crime. That was the title. And at first, I'm not going to say I was excited because I don't like hearing about people dying. But they were saying that it goes against the media narrative, meaning that it's more common to just hear about black on black crime because it seems like that's just what's appropriate for media. And pretty much the article just talks about that as far as every culture had, blacks are going to kill blacks, whites are going to kill whites, Asians are going to kill Asians. It happens in every single race. But what they were saying is that white people are more likely to commit violent crimes than any other race to a 2-to-1 ratio.
So okay, we're going to take a break on that message. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and we're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have some of my students from Intro Psychology joining me today. We are looking at various issues in the Black community. And I know we have just run out of time and we're just skipping over a number of things, but there are two that I want to get your opinions on. Number one, the significance of the Obama presidency. How significant is it in the Black community?
He definitely broke the glass ceiling. When I was in elementary school, I, just to be completely honest, I never, ever, ever thought that I would see a Black president. That was something that I couldn't fathom. And the fact that kids see it now and that's real and normal to them, I feel like that changes their mentality and their mindset. So many Black kids have been programmed to think that that's a white man's job. Santa Claus is white. Jesus is white. So they feel like they are less than and they can only go so far and do so much. So I feel like that will, that has cracked, shattered, removed this glass ceiling so that they have that natural instinct that it's okay to apply for that job. They don't feel that it's something that they can't obtain because our president is Black.
Okay. I think it's like the final straw, like for, you know, Black people, you know, it's like that one that we have finally did that one thing that white people never thought would happen. And, you
black
know, like for me, but you know, for me, like if I live in Jacksonville, you know, Jacksonville is one of the racist cities that you could live in. I had a Black mayor and a Black president. And, you know, that shit, I thought that would never happen. My mom was just, like, is in a maze because I have a black mayor and a Black president. That, you know.
I have a black governor, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can't have everything. But, I mean, that's just, like, you know, that's the.
Yeah, I know.
We hitting the straw. If I have, we have a Black governor from Florida, that's just going to be crazy. I mean.
Yeah, when you look at history, it's just amazing. It is. It's really amazing. I'm proud, you know. I was proud to vote for my first time. I was just, you know, happy. I was running to the vote.
I think, of course I voted for him. But I don't think it was significant just for him. I think it was also significant, I think we were talking about last time, like Michelle Obama, too, just because as we're talking about colorism and stuff like that, Southside Chicago, she had a very Black experience, and you know, for her to be have such high favorability and, you know, be held to this, like, she's almost like on this pedestal for Black women, and she's not light skinned. She might, you know, put in a weave every now and then, but you know, her hair is laid. She's a Black woman, and she's not, you know, this fabricated
Barbie doll.
Thank you. So I think it's also, I think it's one significant for him, but I think for women it's also significant too to have, you know, a Black, and you know, most celebrities, Black celebrities, they, you know, they typically date light skin or, you know, mess around with like white women or whatever, and the fact that she's like Black and she's Black, you know, I think that's saying something for both men and women that are Black.
She's a strong Black woman, though.
Yeah, she's a beautiful.
Can I say something real quick while we're talking about strong Black women? Because I feel like that's really cliche, and I feel like Black women can be something besides strong, and I feel like that's become so, like, Black-on-Black crime, like how that's just so common to say. Black women aren't just strong. Black women have so many other characteristics, and it's just so easy to say strong Black woman that it doesn't even mean anything to me anymore, me personally. So when you're saying strong, like, I mean, she's very charismatic. She's intelligent. She, you know, there's so many other characteristics that describe her, not just strong.
Well, that's what it means by strong. When you think of strong, it's a total package. When you think of weak, they lacking something. So strong.
Everybody's going to be lacking something.
Right there. She charismatic. She look good. She's standing out there.
Good credit.
We right there. We see her. She ain't just in the back like the rest of the women. So I just feel like strong can be the. Now, if I wanted to make a list, I would still be talking right now. Michelle, is this? She that? You know?
You say
so much. I'm just saying that I feel like it's just become so cliche because of the fact that she has, you know, she has some political, very little political. She's in the spotlight, and then she's also like a parent. So I feel like people would just be like, oh, well, she's a strong black woman. Honestly, whoever coined that phrase,
you gotta look
I hate
what
it.
Y'all going through, man. Y'all,
who
women,
is y'all?
Women in general ain't got it easy. Whether you straight or homosexual, whatever. You know,
people,
whether you light skin or dark skin.
Black people don't
a woman
have it
does
easy.
Not have it easy, especially an African American woman. You know, they probably got it worse than what men do. You know what I'm saying? Cause,
wait, they do.
Yeah, and I know, but see, some people don't think that. You know, me being a black man, I'm like, man. They don't want to hire me because I'm black. But now I look at it, I got one job and I'm coming up with another one and I'm still going to school. That's three things on my plate that I got to focus on bouncing around.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you look at a woman, whatever she look like, however she done grew up or whatnot, you look at all the obstacles that you got to go through. And just as a man, a woman got to be strong too. They got to have a mental aspect. They got to be able to stand up, do their thing. Blend in, not necessarily blend in, but have your own opinion.
Yeah, I don't blend in.
And just to piggyback off of, because I know this is just, we're kind of skewing a little bit left, but the whole strong black woman thing, I feel that black men need us to be backbreaking, step on you, crack your neck a couple times, way too strong. I feel like the standard for strongness in the black community has gone way too far. Black women have to raise their own kids by themselves, have a couple jobs, two, three degrees, good credit.
I don't see anything new.
Yeah, but see, that's
well, it's new because I just became grown. Oh. So, and I'm coming to the realization that what's required of you as a black woman, you have to have good credit. You have to be able to cook, clean, iron clothes, organize,
and work.
Plan, work. Have 2 to 3 degrees.
Plan.
Plan. Work. Have 2 to 3 degrees. And
I think I'm a guard.
And this is just to have a boyfriend. This ain't even to have finger candy. This isn't. Uh-oh. This doesn't get you a ring.
Miss.
And I feel like the standard for what's required of a black man of a white woman is much less. I've seen.
Okay. I agree with you, but we need to move on because we'll be on this
She's
forever.
She's about to go in.
Yeah, we'll be on this forever. What about the teenage pregnancy rate in the black community?
Okay. It's tough.
That's just going to get worse.
Yeah,
it's not getting better. It's getting worse. It's going to get, you know.
I thought it got better.
What contributes to it?
Lack
because even
resources.
If it's better, if it's not as high as it has been, it's still too high. It's still not good. We still have too many teens, you know, raising babies.
That's not going down anytime soon.
Why?
Because teenagers have their mindset. Yeah. And they just, you know, it's just
black
like.
Black teens aren't having sex any more than white teens
they
are.
They sure aren't.
The difference is that they opt to keep the babies, okay?
They should.
Yeah.
It comes from who is setting the example and not trying to put pressure on the parents at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's the outside influences that you got around your children, whether they be friends, aunties, or uncles. You know, who's setting that?
It is.
You know, that example for and me growing up.
It's how you was raised, too. So. You know, if you raised, like, if you're in a household where, you know, your mother does not, she does not, you know, believe in abortion, she's instilled that into you. But if you, you know, like I had a friend, she, you know, if she got pregnant, she was a white girl. She's getting an abortion. There's no doubt about it. We're in high school. She's getting an abortion. Now, me, on the other hand, I'm not getting an abortion. Mm-hmm. I have to have my child. Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? So, it just depends on where, you know, what was instilled in you. Because a lot of things that your parents instill in you, you start to believe those things. Whether it makes sense or not.
I think part of it, and like you said, you know, blacks aren't having any. You know, they're not having sex more than white people are. I think it's this, like, this rage. It's 2013, like, sexual freedom. It, like, there's, monogamy is.
2 minutes.
Go and on. I feel like monogamy is, I don't want to say at an all-time low because I really don't have statistics, but I see more sexual freedom. People are like one-night stands are very common now. And I think it's just this raging hormones with, you know, rebellion. And I think as far as the, I don't even think a lot of times abortion really has, it does have to do with values, but I also think it has to do with cause, too.
Mm-hmm. Man,
because, yeah. Honestly, like, where I grew up, if anybody got pregnant, you couldn't afford to get an abortion. Of course, okay. You definitely couldn't afford to keep the child either. But you definitely couldn't afford to, you know, put up, you know, all that money to get an abortion. And I lived where there's a whole bunch of drugs, so there, I don't even think there were any abortion clinics anyway.
I think it became acceptable for young black girls or young black boys to say, yeah, I got a jit. I was going to say that. And I didn't want to say
it on Facebook.
I got a jit.
And it's so acceptable to the point where we don't even question, do we need to go get some emergency contraceptives? I think we had an accident. I don't think that method that we just used, if a method was used at all, is going to work. I think it's just so acceptable that we just deal with whatever happens and whatever mm-hmm. comes with the short-term pleasure, because you know that marriages aren't coming out of this. Black women are the least married group, along mm-hmm. with Asian men, in the country. Black women, 40% of black women are ever married. So I just feel like there's a level of acceptance, and people have accepted. Yeah, I had my baby when I was 15. I'm 30. She's 15. And that's okay.
I think part of it is also education and resources, too. When you don't have access to certain things, like, you wouldn't even know that those resources are even available. And like I said, like, where I grew up, there were no resources.
Yeah, but the time done changed, too. Everybody open about it. Back then, it was there back then, but, you know, when nobody is open as they are now.
Oh, yeah. Well, people are wide open, and they open on Facebook,
too. On that note, we have to close. Time flies. Man. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org.